So if you have your Bible this morning, you can open up to Psalm 126. We're going to be looking at just one verse, verse 6 in that passage. But we're also going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23. So if you're using the church Bible, Psalm 126 is on page 559. And Matthew chapter 13 starts on page 875. So, you know, when we were here Friday night doing the American Campfire Revival, the theme that we talked about the most was sharing the gospel message, sharing Jesus Christ with others. So I thought this message would be fitting to follow up with that. So we're going to be looking at God's plan to share the gospel message with the world. And we're going to look at what that means to us as individual believers and also as the church body. So in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, which is known as the Great Commission, Jesus instructed his disciples to evangelize the world. Here's what he said. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he also said it again in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So Jesus is telling believers, and that's us, to share the good news of the salvation that he's given us and the salvation that he offers to everyone. He wants us to share that wherever we go. But you know, when we look around at some churches today, we can see that there's a problem. And that problem is that the church has largely forgotten its mission. A lot of churches aren't sharing the gospel message. They're busy giving their attention to lesser things. Some are busy running the church like a big corporation. Some churches focus all their attention on raising money. And some put their resources into building big, elaborate buildings. And then there are some churches that just want to keep to themselves. They want to get together every Sunday, visit with their friends, and then go home and forget about it until next Sunday, with no thought of spreading the gospel message. There are a lot of churches that aren't going out into the world and sharing Jesus Christ. And you know, one of the results of that is that there aren't many new believers in the church. Most of the church growth is coming from trading sheep, coming from people going from one church to another. And the thing is, Jesus isn't going to grow his church unless his church is doing what he's commanded it. We need to get back to God's plan to reach the world. We need to share the gospel message outside of this church. Psalm 126 was written for the Israelites. It was written for them after they came back from captivity from Babylon. They had rebuilt Jerusalem, but they still had to reclaim their fields. Those fields had gone unattended for 70 years, the time they were in captivity. So they needed to grow crops to feed their families, and they were trusting in the Lord to provide a harvest for them. But also, verse 6, the one we're going to read this morning, is also used as an analogy for spiritual farming. It's used to describe evangelism. That is, going out into the world and sharing the gospel message with others in order to win souls for the Lord. So let's read through Psalm 126, verse 6. He who goes to and fro, weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Before we go any further, would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and we can never thank you enough for that. But we thank you for having a plan. We thank you for letting us be a part of your plan to share your message to the world that needs to hear it so desperately. Father, it's so humbling to know that you, the creator of everything, use us to do your work here on earth. Father, we pray as we go through this message that we have open hearts and open minds, that we learn what we need to know from this, that we learn how to apply it to our lives, that we learn what we should be doing and how we should be doing it if we're not already. Father, we pray we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we look at verse 6, we can find the four parts of God's plan to reach the world. And that first part of the plan is going. It says, he who goes to and fro. Now, we all know that it isn't always easy to go out and share your faith. I mean, it's easy if somebody asks you about your faith, but it's not always easy to share Jesus with somebody when you don't know what their reaction is going to be. It's easier to do almost anything else in the church. It's easier to serve on some kind of team in the church. It's easier to give money to send others out to share the message. And it's easier to criticize what others are doing than to actually do it ourselves. But here's the thing. We want the church to thrive, don't we? But God isn't going to grow this church by us inviting people to come. God is going to grow this church when we're going out sharing Jesus Christ with others. You know, one of the reasons why it might be hard for us to share is that we might think that we can't say it well enough. We don't have all the right words. We don't know the Bible well enough. But I found this illustration in his book, Sources of Strength. Jimmy Carter shared this story. In the year he was elected president, Jimmy Carter was one of three men invited to speak to the 17,000 delegates at the Southern Baptist Convention. Each had a 5-minute time limit. The first of the three speakers was the eloquent evangelist Billy Graham. The speaker that followed Graham was a truck driver. He was not well-educated, and seated beside the next U.S. president, the truck driver shared that he'd never given a speech in his life. Nervously, he confessed, "I don't think I can live through it. I just can't do it." After Billy Graham gave his powerful talk, the truck driver rose to speak and stood silently before the audience. Taking a glass of water handed to him, he mumbled into the microphone, "I was always drunk and didn't have any friends. The only people I knew were men like me who hung around the bars in the town where I lived." The truck driver went on to describe how someone had told him about Christ. And once becoming a Christian, he wanted to tell others about the Lord. Spending time and Bible study with other Christian men prepared him for witnessing. And since he felt comfortable in bar rooms, he decided to talk to people there. The bartender wasn't sympathetic, telling the new convert that he was bad for business, that he was a nuisance. Not discouraged, the truck driver kept on with his mission. And in time, the people at the bar began asking questions. He said, "At first, they treated me like a joke, but they kept up with the questions. And when I couldn't answer one, I went and got the answer, and I came back with it. 14 of my friends became Christians." Carter writes, "The truck driver's speech, of course, was the highlight of the convention. I don't believe anyone who was there will ever forget that 5-minute fumbling statement, or remember what I or even Billy Graham had to say." See, we don't need the right words. We don't have to say it a certain way just to share Jesus with others. We just need to tell them what Jesus has done in our lives. He'll do the rest. God will use our testimony to reach others. We just need to get out there. We need to get out there and share it. And the second thing we see is the second part of God's plan is weeping. He who goes to and fro, weeping. So another reason why people don't go out and share Jesus Christ with others is because they just don't care enough. We need to have a genuine concern for lost souls. We're not going to put the effort into sharing our faith unless our hearts are breaking for the people who are lost. Our hearts need to break like Paul's did in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, where he said, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul's heart was breaking for the lost people of Israel to the point that he was willing to give up his salvation for them. That's what the weeping is. It's anguish in our hearts from seeing the lost people of the world the same way God sees them. Our hearts need to break. And the third part of God's plan is sowing, carrying his bag of seed. When Jesus explained the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So the seed is the word of God. That is the gospel message. So let's read through our second passage this morning, Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23. It's on page 875 of the Church Bible. And this is the parable of the sower. Now, it's lengthy, but it's necessary for us to hear it. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown in the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So Jesus is pointing out here that we need to go out and share the gospel message, but not everyone we share Jesus with is actually going to hear or understand what we're saying. Some seed fell by the wayside, some on the stony ground, some fell among thorns, and some on the good soil which brought forth fruit. Some people might roll their eyes at us and just blow us off. Some people might laugh at us. We might get some doors shut in our faces. We're going to get different reactions from different people because we don't know what kind of soil we're dealing with. But the important thing is that we make sure we are sowing. And we make sure that we are sowing the good seed, that we are sharing Jesus Christ with others. Now, we sow by talking to others about Christ, telling them what he's done in our life. But we also sow by living consistent Christian lives. Nobody's going to listen to us if we're telling them about Christ, but our life doesn't look any different than theirs. In his book, No Greater Power, Richard C. Halverson wrote this. Sure, we believe in freedom of speech. You've got the right to say anything you like. But others don't have to listen. They are under no obligation to tune you in. And when they do, they can also tune you out anytime they wish. Your right to speak is guaranteed. But you must earn the right to be listened to. It depends solely on your integrity. Integrity is the prerequisite to acceptance. If you expect to be paid attention to, back it up with your life. Let your walk correspond to your talk. This is fundamental to your witness for Christ. Many so-called Christians listen too little, talk too much, and live lives that contradict what they say. Their witness betrays Christ, and it alienates the people that they're speaking to. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" See, if we're not living for Jesus, then our testimony is meaningless. You know, one of the reasons we come to church is so we can learn about Jesus. And through that, we can apply it to our lives, and we can grow and become more and more like him. And the more we do that, the more powerful our testimony is going to be. People are going to know that we're different. There are other things we can use to help us sow as well. We can hand out gospel tracts or other literature to help people understand their need for Jesus. Maybe you found a way. Maybe you found a different way to reach people that you've been witnessing to that we haven't talked about. If you have, share it with us. I mean, we're all in this together. We all learn from each other. And then the fourth part of God's plan is reaping. Shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Have you ever heard a pre-believer, someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, say something like, "Well, you Christians don't have any fun." Or, "I'd become a Christian if I didn't have to give up all the fun stuff." I used to think like that. But you know what? When you see Jesus change someone's life, Or when you see someone's eyes light up because they just had a passage of Scripture speak to them for the first time, there's nothing more fun and exciting than that. That's more fun and exciting than anything else you could do. It's a blessing. It's a blessing not only for that person, but for all the Christians that are around them. It blesses everyone. That's why Paul encourages believers not to give up when he said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Don't leave the soul winning to others. Get in on the blessings. So let's get out there and tell others what Christ has done in our lives. See, winning souls for Christ, that brings present rejoicing, and it also brings future joy. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. "In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." We don't need to try and keep up with what other churches are doing. And we don't need to try to put on some kind of a big show just to draw people into the church. We just need to get back to the basics of the gospel message. We just need to share Jesus with people outside of the church who haven't heard about him yet. So let's get back to the excitement and joy of winning souls for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for never letting us just sit idle. Thank you for reminding us of your plan, of your mission for us to get out into the world and share Jesus Christ with people that need to hear him, Father. There are so many out there that desperately need to hear him, especially in this day and age. And we thank you for letting us be a part of your plan. We thank you for giving us your word to guide us, direct us, encourage us, give us the strength to get out there in situations that we might see as awkward, to share your word. But we know we can draw on your strength, and we know you're in control of the situation. And even if somebody isn't kind to the word, that seed still gets in there, and you might use another person to help water that seed. Just thank you so much for not wanting anyone to perish, and for using us to help bring that to fruition. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.